Good evening, everyone. I am more than happy to be here today. Not just because this is my first ever message in our chapel and in the United States. It's also my first ever message in English. Even though I've made many messages, I prepared sermons, but every one of them has been in Albanian. And even though I've been working as an ESL teacher for many years, this is my first ever message in English from the Bible. When Fred told me, it was like probably 3 weeks ago, about the message today, I had two reactions that came to me. The first reaction was, this is very important. I want to share with God's people his glory. But I also had a second thought because I had to be in Chicago today, take my dad to the airport. And I was really stressed, to tell you the truth, all the day today. I just, because I thought everyone is driving, it's Thanksgiving Eve. But finally, I made it. I'm very thankful. This is the first thing to say. I'm thankful today. I'm here. I made it. Yes, because, you know, I just thought, well, maybe the traffic would be congested. And the second thing before I open the Bible is that I want to thank you all for praying for me today. I was very encouraged earlier today when Ray just came in the room and he touched me on the shoulder and he said, we're praying for you. And I am very thankful for that. I'm very encouraged. So what I want to do today is just open my heart to you and just proclaim the Lord publicly, what he has done. And while we were in this situation with our, you know, immigration, I thought that if this thing is done, I would need to write a book for that. We are all prone to forgetfulness, but I also needed to write it, not just because of this, but because what his deeds really deserve to be documented so that every other people know. My children, my grandchildren would know what he has done. And that's why I was very happy. And I think this is the right moment to share with you. I want to tell you, what I want to do is just to tell you two stories. The first story is something that every Christian knows. It's the story when God opened the Red Sea for the Israelites to walk and to save them from the hand. And the second is to tell you my story. This is, a few people know it. I just want to read, if you can open with me, please, from Exodus chapter 14. It's a long chapter. I will try to be short, just read some parts of it. Not all of it, of course. I know everybody knows it. I just want to refresh so we can connect the stories together. So it's chapter 14, verses 13 to 16. And I'm reading them. So chapter 14, verses 13 to 16, the first part. So, and Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." By the way, I'm using NKJV. "Which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you shall see again, no more, forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace," your shalom, the word in Hebrew. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So this is not logical. We cannot imagine opening the sea. But nothing is impossible with him. This is a miracle. A miracle of salvation for people to walk on dry ground where there is water. And there is only one who can do that. Only the person who can walk on water can do that. So, the other verses I would like to read, it's again on chapter 14. It's from 26 to 30. So chapter 14, 26 to 30. This is the second part now. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all of the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. They saw them. So this story is not just a cartoon or an animated movie featuring these things. Nor is it a sci-fi documentary. It's true. Maybe many people want to refuse that or not believe that, but it's true because our Lord is true. He is the truth. He is glorious, and we see his greatness here, his power, his might. After all, he is the creator. He has done everything, everything, things we see and things we do not see. He has complete control over the sea, complete control over everything. And he can do that. What a great protection and what a great salvation has he made to his people. It's wonderful. It's enough reason to be thankful 24/7. Not just for the salvation we read here, but for our salvation. We are dead to sin. But the question I have is, what was the impact that this event, this story, that the Israelites saw with their own eyes, so what impact did this event have on people, on them? There are three things that are mentioned here, three results that it produced on the people, on Israelis. And they are in verse 31. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So people fear the Lord and believe the Lord and his servant Moses. So this was the impact. People fear the Lord. The idea is they honored the Lord. They had a fear and honor together. And the second impact is that they believed in the Lord. There is no other way. Just to see what he did, even if you are blind, cannot do anything about that. It's it's so great what he did. So when we see or when we experience God in this way, now in our lives, it produces fear, honor, and belief. We can either believe if we are not non-believers, or our belief strengthens when we see what he does. It goes to another level. Now, what's the third? The third, there is no third here. But the third is, and that's the point where I want to focus, the third is a song or a hymn or a shout of thankfulness. And it's not written here in this verse because it deserves a whole chapter, and it's chapter 15. It's 15. This is the third impact. When you see, when they saw what God did for them, you can't help it. Every cell of their body was shouting. Every cell was singing for what he did. It's a natural reaction coming out of a person, of a person's depth, to have shouts of joy when you see God perform wonderful works such as that. So for us as believers, it's a natural reaction to give thanks. And of course, we cannot read the whole chapter, but I want to just read some select verses from 1 to 5. So 15 from 1 to 5. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also, chosen captains. I mean, they were not just regular soldiers that were chasing the Israelis. They were the best of his army. His chosen captains also are drawn into the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. What a comparison. We all know when you throw a stone into water, it goes deep. This is a shout of joy that comes out of their hearts. 11 to 13. It's a question. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretch out your right hand, the earth swallows them. You, in your mercy, have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. And it's very interesting, you see, because at chapter 14, he says to Moses, stretch out your hand. Here, it says, they say, you stretch out your hand, not me, not Moses. You did that. It was not Moses. It was God. Some words or phrases that I have, taken down to point out from this song of thankfulness are, just to have an idea, are triumph gloriously. My strength and my song, I will praise him. Lord is a man of war, glorious in power. The greatness of your excellence, glorious in holiness. The greatness of your arm, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. These are the words that they use in this song of thankfulness. What a heart of thankfulness is that? To thank God for what he did using these words. Just to exalt him because he deserves it. He deserves it. Now, why did I choose this story to share with you? After all, it's a story that everybody knows. Because the reason is this, and I did this before I ever knew I would be here, that when my friends, family and relatives and church members, brothers and sisters in Albania, asked me about our process here and how it was, you know, going, I compared it to this story. I didn't know I would be here, but I compared it to this story. And I just want to proclaim and declare to you what he did. You know, the idea, the story is long, I try to give you the gist of it, but we as, you know, many families, my Blerta's mom signed a petition for us to join the family here. It was September 2020, so like 2 years ago. And normally the procedure would take 6 months, and then we were ready for the positive answer. And then, you know, it was a sure thing for us because we had done it before with other family members. And I also stopped doing some things there because this was a sure thing. And we were fully prepared for the answer from the USCIS, that's the institution who deals with it, only to know that after 6 or 7 months passed, only to know that, well, this cannot be, this cannot happen, or for it to happen, it would take 12 years, 104 or 105 months. What? I mean, this can't be true because we know it took 6 months with Blerta's mom, and it cannot be the same. It cannot be different for us. Well, the truth was that it needed, legally speaking, it needed 12 years because the relationship that a parent has with the married son or daughter is different from if the son or daughter wants to have his parents come here. It's different. We didn't know that. We knew everything except this little detail. But it was on purpose, by the way. It was on purpose. And I knew that. I was thinking of a word, how to describe myself at that moment. I was devastated, emotionally drained and devastated. Because we have left many things in our country to be prepared for our arrival here. And now we learn that this is impossible to happen. And I knew for a fact that even after we talked to an attorney, just to know something officially speaking, she said that, well, it's true. You need 12 years for this thing to happen. And there is no other way out, not even like a premium application so we can expedite it. Nothing. And this is the time when I knew God was testing my faith. And this happened for this reason, by the way, just so I want to open my heart to you so you know it. This happened for this reason. God wanted to test my faith. Period. And I lost it, by the way. I lost the test. I failed the test. It was too much for me. That's what I thought. I was like literally crying because, you know, why didn't he tell us before, after all? So that we wouldn't be prepared for that at all. Then we learned that Milwaukee Public Schools were hiring international teachers. And since I had been teaching English for 14 years, I thought, okay, I don't need to do that because I had never, ever in my life thought that I could, you know, come to the U.S. through my job. Never. And to tell you the truth is that I thought if we go to the U.S., maybe I need to change my job. I would like to change it. That's what I thought. I don't want to teach English anymore or, you know, teach kids. Maybe I would do something that is more profitable or not that much nerve-wracking. But God had a different plan. Not my plan. I'm really serious about that. I never, ever thought in my life, and I had never moved the stroke of a pen to do something that would bring me and my family here through my job. Never. I had had the opportunity, and I had never done that. Never. On the contrary, I wanted to stop doing that thing. But he said, no, you will do that. I applied half-heartedly. I didn't even have a resume ready, nor did I have my credentials converted to the American system. We use numbers in my country. Here we use letters A, B, C, and nothing. And everything was done in a record time. I applied. They sent me some English tests. They said, you have passed them. And we have a job offer for you. Would you like to accept that? That was the email. Is she serious? I mean, I said, yes, of course, yes. And then from that moment, the school attorney, the district attorney, got my case, and she did every step till the moment we got the visa for 3 years, by the way. It's for 3 years. But the Milwaukee Public Schools reserved the right to renew it because they need teachers and because it is legally possible to do that. So here we are. This was impossible, but it was made possible by him. That's why I wanted to share this with you, because I feel it as a duty now to tell people who he is and what powerful God he is. I feel it. It's the truth needs to be out, needs to go out, so people know about him. I have noticed that generally people give thanks. This is what I have noticed. The question is, who do you give thanks to? People of the world give thanks to themselves, to their abilities, to their skills, to their inborn talents. I did it. People give thanks to, you know, to parents. They helped me do that. My strengths, my intellectual properties are able to do whatever I want and to achieve. They give thanks. They give credit to everything to themselves. For us, it's different. We give thanks to the one and only, to the source of our, to the source of our salvation, to the one who has created us and who is maintaining us. And the same thing that happened when even the original pilgrims did. They didn't give thanks for the harvest that they had planted, and then by their strength they harvested them, and they had enough reasons to thank themselves, but they said, no, we are observing a day of thanksgiving because we want to thank God for the harvest we have, originally speaking. And then Lincoln was right later on that he ratified and declared it a national holiday. He did not say, well, we have to be thankful. We have to thank ourselves. Excuse me. We have to thank ourselves, our abilities, for what we have. But they observed the day to fully dedicate it to the one and only, to the source of the harvest and the foods we have on our tables every day. I wanna very more specifically now tell you some things that why I am thankful for, what I am thankful for. I am thankful for the family we have here in Milwaukee. I'm thankful for their heart, that they helped us. They have been beside us this moment of transition, and I am very thankful for that. I know that God has put them there, and God has given them their heart, the heart of generosity and helpfulness. I am thankful for the school of children. By the way, you knew that we came here in August, but the school enrollment was in February for the choice program. And legally speaking, or according to rules, they could not be accepted to school because the registrations were already finished. But one morning I was still sleeping. We got an email from the school principal who said that, well, we have accepted your children to the Lutheran Christian school. Just come, stop by and fill out the forms. And now, really? Probably August 15th. So we came here in August 6th. August 15th, they started school. And I was literally jumping out of joy in the morning. Really, I was happier for them than for myself. We know as parents how important this is for us and for our children. They started school, and I didn't know that my children go to a Christian school. In our country, they were not in a Christian school or kindergarten. But now they are in a Christian school, and they get biblical lessons every day. I'm thankful for the MPS. I'm sorry if I'm late. I don't know the time. I lost track of time. I'm sorry, Fred, if it's late, but I'm trying to finish it quickly. I'm thankful for MPS, for Milwaukee Public Schools. You know, we were on Friday, we were at a meeting with other international teachers, and there were, in total, there can be 100 international teachers coming here in Milwaukee. And they were from Nigeria, Mexico, all Latin America, from Africa, and there was another Albanian living in the city where I worked. And I heard from them from the hardships and the challenges they are going through. My colleague from Albania, she's a biology teacher. She said that now I have to pay around $10,000 to get the teaching certificate. And I thought, well, I don't know anything about that. I just applied. It was like $100, I think, and I got a certificate for 3 years. Nothing else. Now tell me, who can do that? She needs to pay $10,000 to get the certificate, or otherwise she would go back. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters here and in our church in Albania. We are very important for each other. We are not meant to be lonely Christians. We are meant to be a community. And here we are. And even though I come from Albania or Colombia or other countries, you know, when we enter these doors or the doors in our church or chapel in Albania, we all speak the same language. The language of love, the language of Christ, the language of Bible, which is the same. Because God is the same. And finally, it's not finally, I'm sorry. I am eternally thankful for my God and my Savior, Jesus Christ. My heart and my feelings and my love for him go beyond words. I am not skilled enough to express the love I have for him and and his truth. He is our Savior, and he's the one who is alive. He died for my sin. He rose for my salvation, so that where he is, I will be with him. And I am eternally thankful and grateful for that. Even during that time of devastation for me and testing, I knew, even though I was irritated with him, I knew and frustrated, I knew deep down my heart the verses from Psalm 136 that read, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." I knew it. I knew it's something. I knew the truth. I knew that there was something there. I knew that his love and his mercy never, ever fail. I knew that. And the last thing, I'm thankful, and I want to be very sincere with you. There is no point to be otherwise, but I want to be sincerely with you. I am not just thankful because of what he did, because what he did was wonderful. Because I don't want to have that materialistic point of view and saying, well, he did that for me and I have this and I have that. I don't want to have this materialistic point of view. But I am thankful because I saw him. Not what he did, but I saw him. I was sitting in the front line. And I saw him on the stage do everything. But I am more thankful for because I saw him, not because what he blessed me with. I saw him act so powerfully. And finally, because to tell you the truth, I was emotional in the beginning because I think it's natural. But I could never stop talking about him and his greatness. But we know that throughout the Bible, and especially in the New Testament, Paul urges us and exhorts the churches he writes, and then in turn us, to be thankful at all times and in all circumstances. And we know what he says to Philippians, to Romans, to Thessalonians. In other words, he is exhorting us to live above our circumstances. Because if something bad happens, it doesn't come naturally to be thankful. But what he does there, he says, be thankful in all circumstances. In other words, live above your circumstances. I know this is easier said than done, but as we think for the next Thanksgiving, the next year to come, let's keep this in our mind, in our hearts, in our identity as Christians, to be thankful every time. And let me tell you something true that happened last night, and I'm closing with it. I really apologize for the time. But yesterday, why did I do this? I did this with, this is very important for me. Please don't look at me. Just look at him. I just wanted to present to you him. That he is glorious, he is powerful, and he is loving, and his mercy endures forever. Just give thanks and glory to him. And look what happened yesterday. Blerta, my wife, and my dad, and the children, because they don't go to school, they were driving all day, going to different places, and everything was fine, perfect. And in the evening, she was alone going to pick her mom from work, and she was alone in the car. And while she was going out of her workplace, she heard a loud noise on the right left of her front wheel, and she was confused, and she kept driving the car. And then another second, she heard another louder noise, like something had broken. And she went out of the car. Other people were looking at her. Another woman who was standing by, she said, "Well, you scared me. What?" And she was like, "I'm sorry, what happened? I don't know what happened." Only to know that the control arm of the car, I don't know if that's the right word, the left control of the arm had literally broken down into pieces. The wheel couldn't move anymore because of rust and metal fatigue, just broke down. And the front left wheel was just moved to the side. And just by chance, and out of nowhere, somebody came and said, "Well, I'm a mechanic and I have a tow truck here with me. So I'm going to tow your car, put it into the right parking place, and you'll be fine with that." Because she just stopped in the middle of the road. She could block the traffic and everything. But out of nowhere, somebody came. He said, "I have a tow truck and I'm a mechanic." And I was coming back from work at the time, and I was like 5 minutes away. I went there. It was like nothing has happened. Nothing had happened. Just imagine if this thing happened while she was driving in the freeway with 40, 50, 60. All day. But it broke down exactly at the moment when my dad and my children were at home. And the car was driving in the parking lot with maybe 5 or 7 miles. Now, who did that? The glory is all to the God. Thank you very much, and I really apologize for the time. I've lost track of it.
Let's end with number 405.
Shadow of turning. ready, set, go.